Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Right. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren is out of town this week down in New Orleans. A little bit jealous. We both thought we had the same shrimp, crab, lobster allergies. Turns out he's no longer allergic. So twins, I guess, only in blood, not in spirit. We have a great show today. That was Just Wolves. They'll be on later to talk about the new EP, what it's like to be siblings in a band. But first, we have Big Apple Barbecue live in the studio. Jean-Paul Bourgeois.
Perfect.
And Amy Mills. BFFs. And I feel like the B maybe stands for barbecue, but...
Wow, that's clever, yeah.
Yeah. Or BBQ BFFs.
Exactly.
Something like that.
BBQ family, for sure.
So 12th year. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you give our listeners a little history of the barbecue?
Well, 12 years ago, in the pouring down rain, 6,500 people showed up to the Big Apple Barbecue. Of course, and it was just a couple vendors there, maybe just blew smoke, but showed up in the rain. This year, we're expecting over 140,000 people, man, and I am just so excited to be a part of that and represent Blue Smoke in this festival and represent Louisiana with our dish. And it's going to be a blast, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let's take a step back. What's the prologue, if you will, to get to those 6,500 people in the rain? Like, how did this all kind of come about?
Well, this came about really, you know, as the brainchild of Danny Meyer, Union Square Hospitality Group, along with my dad, Mike Mills, and a few other founding pitmasters, Chris Lilly, Ed Mitchell, and Rick Schmidt. And the idea was really to have this block party, an old-fashioned block party that was going to become a celebration of regional American barbecue. And, you know, really the best of barbecue from Texas, from North Carolina, from Alabama, from Southern Illinois, and then from New York City itself, all set up outside and just decided to share some barbecue. And we really had no idea who would show up. We knew when that torrential downpour came and no one moved, they just put the umbrellas up and they stayed put, that we were on to something.
And what was the state 12 years ago of New York barbecue? I now know that, like, we're in a very good time where you can get, you know, arguably you can get decent barbecue in New York on a regular basis. But where was it 12 years ago?
Well, I mean, I think Blue Smoke, maybe one other person was doing real wood-burning barbecue. And like Amy alluded to, inspired by Mike Mills and what they were doing in Southern Illinois. And that's the really true way to barbecue, with real wood, low and slow, your name brand of spices, if you will, and just really creating something special like that. And so I think the state of barbecue was, wouldn't say non-existent, but surely not where it's at today.
And why do you think it's evolved in the last, you know, 12 years since you think, or what's led to the factors of its evolution in the city?
I think there have been several different things. Danny Meyer and Blue Smoke absolutely have paved the way for great barbecue in New York, and they showed that it can be done. You know, several other people have followed suit, bringing their own brand of barbecue into the city as well. And I think the food media, via the block party, I have to give the block party a lot of credit, because we've been able to really entertain and get to know media in what is arguably the media capital of the world, and really, you know, show people sort of our own brand of hospitality. They became more interested in writing about it. And really now, I think, you know, pitmasters are sort of like rock stars. The media treats them like that. When we walk through an airport or we walk through a festival, when I'm walking with my dad, it's like walking with Elvis. We cannot take two steps without somebody wanting to reach out and touch him or, you know, have a conversation.
He has just as many trophies as Elvis, I'll tell you that. You've seen that collection? It's unbelievable.
So,
which one do you think he's most proud of?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I think he's just as proud of the very first one as he is the very last one. And
wow.
He hopes to keep adding more.
That's awesome.
You know, it's been a ride, I think.
Now, it's like cooking to compete different than just like cooking to serve people? Like, are you like prepping in a different way when you're putting a dish up for a competition?
I'm going to leave that one to Amy, too. She has definitely educated me on that side of barbecues. I've never been in a competition, per se, except with myself. but Amy, what do you think about that?
It's absolutely different. What I love about the block party is that it's not a competition.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. A competition, and you'll see that on shows like Barbecue Pitmasters and some of the other, you know, barbecue shows that are capturing America's attention right now. But you're cooking for sort of what we call the one-bite wonder. People are, judges are taking one bite of something, and they need some intense flavor. Mm. People are, they're steaming ribs. They're covering them with parquet margarine and brown sugar and all kinds of sauce. The flavor profile swings very sweet. Honestly, if you ate a rack of those ribs, you would be sick. But for one intense bite,
right,
they are serving a purpose. But I don't want people to think that that is what we cook at the block party, or that what you should be cooking in your own backyard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's two different purposes, and I was curious.
Exactly.
So for the evolution, so, you know, 12 years ago to today, like, where, you know, how has it evolved and grown, and, you know, what was something you maybe saw in the early days that kind of either took a backseat or kind of got changed out and switched up?
Well, the evolution has been people, 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 people. We started off with five of us in front of Blue Smoke and 6,500 people. I think that those numbers topped 140,000 last year. The people just keep coming, and the pitmasters, we've had to add many more pitmasters to the lineup to accommodate that. And it's just, it's an incredibly special thing to see all of these, really the best of all these regional people come, and each person sort of has their little, their people who are the first in line every year. People who are from Memphis and Southern Illinois, all of Illinois and even into Missouri, you know, flock to us. They certainly enjoy all the barbecue, but they come by to say hi and eat at 17th Street for sure. And I think each person has that. There are so many expatriates here in New York City, and everybody can sort of get a taste of home at the block party, which I think is really neat. I think that what's special and what's remained the same is that, you know, they close down Madison Avenue. We get to sit there at night in a lawn chair drinking a beer and have cars are whizzing by you. It's really a very surreal experience to be out all night, people wandering in and out, chatting with you. You know, I think really what's happened is that it's just gotten bigger and better.
I like to piggyback on that and just say, the amount of people, obviously, this is New York, and it's a tourist capital of the world, and people are literally scheduling their trips, their vacations around the Big Apple block party, wanting to get just a little taste and a little glimpse of, like, of the barbecue South and the barbecue world in the United States. And I just think it's awesome that you can have people from Korea, India, England, all come to New York for this one festival, and it not only brings your family and friends around this Madison Square Park or the dinner table, but it brings people from all over the world to experience something that this country does so well.
I mean, when did you first start having international people show up?
Well, I would say they showed up from day one. You know, we would have people asking us, is there a pork in this item? do you have anything I can eat? Because, you know, we don't eat pork. Within the last few years, there's actually a group of Germans who came. They read Peace, Love, and Barbecue. They traveled to Murfreesboro. We told them about this festival. Mm-hmm. They've come for 2 years, and last year on Friday night, they were gathered around our tables helping us trim and dust ribs. So they want to come not only to experience it and to meet all of the people, but they wanted to get their hands dirty and help out, too.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some of the chefs who will be, or pitmasters, I apologize, who will be involved this year, how to best attack it, and just get some more details. All right, we are back. 12th annual. Big, big block party next weekend. Let's talk about this. How do you select the pitmasters? How have they kind of like grown and evolved over the years?
The pitmaster selection, a lot of time goes into that. Obviously, people who are able to travel and have mobile rigs and are able to feed this amount of people, it's a pretty daunting task to serve 6,000 plus people over the course of 2 days. We really have taken a lot of care into choosing the best of regional barbecue. You know, we have representatives from both Carolinas, from Texas, Alabama, St. Louis, Southern Illinois. We're always missing Kansas City. We've had a little bit of difficulty there. But really, and then, of course, a nod to the great barbecue that's happening here in the city to round that out. So you can really get a taste, a culinary taste of the landscape of regional American barbecue. And, you know, these are people who have been around for a while and are just, you know, well-known in their in the barbecue, well-known and well-respected in the barbecue world.
And it's all hand select. There's no like anyone that like puts their name in the hat or like kind of like corners you at some like cocktail party like halfway through the year.
That happens all the time. There's really? Not okay. A week that goes by that someone doesn't say, "Can you get me into the block party?" And you know, really, I think the beauty of that is that it's a selected group that represents the best of the best.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine. Have any of the pleas worked? Has anyone just been dogged enough that you have let them in?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, fair enough. Close circle, that's fine.
One of those, isn't it one of those things, like, if you have to ask?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
How many pitmasters will there be this year?
17.
So how are 140,000 people, 17 pitmasters.
You do the math.
How do you attack this? Like, first time going, like, what's the plan?
4 years being a spectator, I would go early. Skip breakfast, save room for barbecue, get in the line, be patient, as hard as that is, because once you start smelling all that meat smoking and those ribs being glazed and you're seeing everybody working, it's definitely putting up an appetite. But be patient, because barbecue's slow and low, and sometimes we got to do the same and just wait our turn. But
exactly. You know, if you're traveling with a group, a great idea is to divide and conquer. Send everybody to a line, have everyone buy X number of portions, and meet up in the park where there'll be the beer tents and music and all the great things that are going on there. I would definitely make a plan of attack, study the map that should be online soon, and see where you want to go. There are certainly some lines are longer than others, so you might want to get into those lines first. And really just slow down and enjoy it. One of my favorite stories that my dad tells, is about looking at these lines and looking at the people and the hustle and bustle of New York and the click, click, click of the high heels. But when everybody gets to the block party and you have to stand in that line, people slow down and they start talking to each other and they enjoy each other a little bit. And he sort of likens that to the bees we used to keep. In order to make bees docile, you have to smoke them. And that's what we're doing in Madison Square Park. We're going to smoke them out.
Well played.
Exactly. Okay. They're going to... Everyone just slows down a little bit, and that's the beauty of that weekend.
And so who are some of the pitmasters that we will be patiently waiting in line for?
Well, of course, you have Mr. Mike Mills of 17th Street Bar and Grill, famous for those baby back ribs and... another one of my favorites, the other Mike, and I like to call him Mike and Mike, is Mike Emerson of Pappy Smokehouse. And, of course, you can come see me, Blue Smoke Tent, and get your Louisiana Andouille and Yellow Mustard Chow Chow. But they're all really great, and they all offer something a little bit different that you can snack on. And if you have that whole platter and you divide and conquer, like Amy said, and come back to one central location with a bunch of beers and enjoy all this different barbecue. It's really something special to happen in New York City.
Yeah, we have some our whole hog boys, Sam Jones from Skylight Inn in North Carolina, Rodney Scott from Scott's Barbecue in Hemingway, South Carolina. We'll have the Salt Lick from Texas. We will have
Love Salt Lick.
Yeah, Blackjack Barbecue from Charleston, South Carolina. And then, of course, rounding that out, you will have the New York City powerhouses, Dinosaur Barbecue, Hill Country Barbecue, two new arenas this year, Hometown Barbecue and Delaney Barbecue, both from Brooklyn. So representing yet another new wave of barbecue in the city. Ubons from Yazoo City, Mississippi, are real special friends of ours. And, of course, we cannot ever forget to mention the pitmaster, Mr. Ed Mitchell, the most photogenic man in barbecue from North Carolina.
Well, I know that you can't pick a favorite, but what would you say that you might be looking forward to?
Well, also, I cannot forget to mention Pat Martin with his Western Tennessee-style whole hog from Nashville. And I am really excited that he will be next to me, as well as Chris Lilly on the other side, who recently just won an unprecedented fourth world grand champion at Memphis in May. So shout out to Chris. I'm right in the middle of those two boys, so I'm sure that I will be enjoying their barbecue.
That's a great question. And she mentioned Ed Mitchell, and I'm just more... Of course, I'm excited to get a bite of that whole hog, but just to sit down and talk with him and kind of shoot the breeze a little bit with him and learn from a master is going to be something really awesome for me, being a newcomer to the festival myself.
That's amazing. So where can people get tickets, information, study the map, make a game plan?
Right online at BigAppleBBQ.org. I think there's still a few fast passes left. I would snap one of those up. If you're my friend and you're listening, do not call me next week and ask me to get you a fast pass because I am unable to do that. I've already called in all my favors for this event, but they're still available. But really, you pay. The fast pass lets you get in the fast line like at Disney World, but you pay at each particular pitmaster's booth. And new this year is that you can buy either a bottle of sauce or rub and a hat at each place, which is kind of cool. And by popular demand, there will be event t-shirts that were not last year. So they will be in the middle of the park or wherever that merchandise tent is.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to trying this all next week. We are emceeing on Saturday, which means that we have to be there at 10:30. So hopefully that is early enough to like formulate.
Well, you better come at 10 and swing by our tents, and we will give you a little snack before
ready to
you
get
start.
Get your hands dirty now.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
No, I know.
I wouldn't just skate in at 10:30. First of all, it's going to be a throng of people, so you better get there a little early and swing by for breakfast.
We have a little VIP tent set up at Blue Smoke, and you're always welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, well, we'll be there at 8 a.m.
Okay. Same at 17th Street. Yeah. So come see us both. We'll be near each other, I'm sure.
Just wait around to hear the good news, to hear the good news. I just wait around to hear from you, to hear from you. Well, yeah.
I want to welcome Wolves into the studio.
Hi, hello, guys.
You three gorgeous people.
We were gorgeous yesterday.
Yeah.
Once we were gorgeous.
Yeah. Do you want to go around the room and introduce yourselves to the lovely listening audiences?
Well, I'm the youngest of the group. My name's Louis Fallo. I'm the drummer.
That's Louis.
Should I put headphones on?
Oh, no, they're not working today.
Okay. Can I do it just for looks?
You can do it just for looks, yeah.
You do it just
looks,
for selfies.
It looks great for radio.
Yeah, it's a good radio look, which is a catch-22.
It looks cool, honestly.
I'm Elizabeth Vallow. I'm the vocalist and songwriter and the only sister in our clan.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Only girl. Oh. Only female in my crew.
Yeah, you can do whatever fuck you
it's
want.
The internet.
Yeah, it's the internet.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah, I love the internet.
I love curse words.
Yeah.
I am the narrator, and I'm averse to proximity effects, so I'm going to sit back in the chair. My name is Joshua.
Oh, okay.
I'm the oldest man in this room, and Elizabeth and I are one man.
Yeah, we're twins.
And Lewis.
One man, one bubble.
Wait, are you really twins?
Yeah, no, Josh and I are twins, and Lewis is not.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, my brother, who's not here, we are also twins.
You're
how
awesome.
Do we not cover? How have we not covered this before?
I don't know.
Because we're not identical. You know, we're fraternal,
yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't come up. Also, yeah. we forget. We just think that we're the same person.
But it's not that we don't forget everything. It's
yeah.
Not, right. Yeah. It's not special.
But it's, and it's
forget.
Not just the three of you, right? There's other siblings.
There's other siblings.
Have they auditioned for the band? You're like, no.
I mean,
we've heard a couple tapes.
In a way.
seen some dance routines.
Thanksgiving is like really tense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Folks are a little nervous. No, actually, there are six of us. There are five boys and me, which
wow.
is pretty fucking radical.
Yeah.
And they all actually have their own musical projects, so they might be a little jealous of Wolves, but they're all rocking on in their own way. So.
Are you going to do the thing where like all the bands just kind of like open up for each other and play around?
Yeah, that's actually on the calendar.
Funny okay. that you mentioned that.
Friday, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's actually my last question of every episode. So we'll do last question first. Yeah. So what's the show?
So
June 6th. At Glasslands, it's not going to be all of the family bands, but it will be Silent Fangs, which is actually Lewis on drums, and then his older brother Jamie on bass, and a fabulous girl called Jess Ledbetter, who has sort of a unicorn pink mane of hair and sounds like PJ Harvey.
Yeah, that's right.
And their band is fabulous. And then we are playing next, and then Josh's girlfriend is Ann Courtney, who is the powerhouse, bone-grinding lead singer of Mother Feather. Basically just like a hot, glam Ozzy Osbourne.
It's like the most exciting rock show in New York City.
I've seen a lot of bands, like
most of
big
them.
Bands, and this is my favorite band to see, like Agnostic.
Really?
Time and time again. Yeah.
So
and
like every artist that I work with, I'm like, so nice to meet you. If we're going to work together, you have to go check this band.
Like, and you have to, like, and you just wait for there. If they like it, we can work together. If not.
No, I don't care if they like it.
Oh,
okay. So I just have to go and take notes and then come back.
School. Yeah.
Like, yeah, check this out. Before he and Ann were together, actually, and as we were just starting Wolves, well, actually, we were starting our previous band called Owls, but I'm not going to get into that because it's a little confusing.
Is that Owls with two W's?
Yes,
it is. Yeah.
Oh, just for all the listeners, it's Wolves with two V's.
Yes.
So, which. I applaud the Google ability of the name.
It's very Googleable, and it's if you really want to get to us straight away, just go to wolves.com, WOLVVES.com, and that
my
will
God.
Take you right to the portal.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Thanks.
Very modern band.
Plugs.
That's right.
But so when we were starting the band, he took me out to see Mother Feather, and it was before he and Anne were together, so it's kind of ironic. And one of the reasons why...
We didn't even barely know each other.
Yeah, no, I mean, they were like sort of, you know, courtesy friends, and... The reason
that's a
why
courtesy friend.
Just like, you know, hey.
No benefits.
Oh. Okay.
No benefits. Yeah, no benefits.
Well, coffee is really good. Do you want some of that?
I want some of that coffee. Yeah,
yeah
thanks.
Coffee tastes amazing.
The reason why he took me is relevant to a conversation about Wolves just generally, though, because basically she just like leaves everything on the stage every single show.
Yeah.
Completely fearless.
There's
like
blood everywhere.
Hugely, hugely dramatic. Incredibly entertaining. And the point was is that a lot of bands go up there and they plinkety plink and it's like, oh, hear me, spill my guts on stage, and sometimes it's really lovely, but generally I would say there's room for more entertaining
or they do
shows.
Things in quotes, and it's just
right.
like this is the TV version of the idea that we were thinking about doing, and there's no actual Well, so we were in Detroit last weekend, and there's like actually totally blood everywhere in Detroit. And so that's the way that show is. It's just actually the real, there's real danger. There's real...
right. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
And things are being born and dying, like, right in front of you. And
so
there's...
How did owls evolve into wolves?
Oh,
died. Yeah, it totally died. Originally, owls had one other brother, the one right above me named Shapes, playing guitar. And Joshua was playing bass.
Amazing.
On an electric guitar.
On electric bass guitar.
Yeah.
I was also playing synthesizer on a Fender bass guitar.
Also true, yeah.
But I mean, long story short, like, Lewis and I actually started DJing under the name Wolves together. And then we were like, oh, we should make some tracks. And then we started making tracks with Josh because he's the most brilliant producer we know.
Right.
And we were like, oh, wow, this is a band. Like, this is actually something really special.
Yeah.
And it's pretty wild. Like, the three of us have one of the most seamless creative processes I've ever encountered. And it's not guaranteed just because we're siblings. You know, like, it could actually be worse in some cases.
Way worse.
So,
yeah.
I've never seen it.
Because they're like, oh, you don't like that note? Yeah, that's because you fucked me up like 10 years ago when you, like, stole my bike. Yeah.
Well, and also there's, like, no filter. Like, you're not afraid to be like, hey, fuck you, man, as opposed to, like, the courtesy of, like, a
that takes sucked. Roll it back.
Yeah.
You never do the dishes.
Actually, that's my job.
Yeah.
No, I'm the worst. I just, like, run my fucking mouth and, like, it's the worst. It's the worst thing ever.
No, it's great.
And what is the creative process between the three of you?
Oh, man, it's really organic. Most of the time, one of us shows up with, like, a super broad concept, and we all get super stoked about it, and then we just, like, kind of pick it apart instrument by instrument or just, like, feeling by feeling.
Yeah.
And then eventually we kind of just land on it, and it develops in the live show every time because Josh has made it a point to kind of have it more candid and, like, you can really phrase however you want it. Mm-hmm. So even if we're playing the same recorded song, we get to take, you know, a new variety and new variation on every tape.
Well, we're going to play a track from the EP. This one, we opened the show with It Speaks, but this one is called White on White from Wolves on Snacky Tunes.
Can I tell you something really quick about it?
Oh, yeah.
So we have a big, gigantic, expensive music video coming out, and it's going to be launching on flaunt.com in July.
Keep plugging. Keep plugging.
Daphne Guinness, David LaChapelle. LA? It's going to be bananas.
We have to play a show in LA, right?
We're going
to
play a show in LA.
After
Well, here's a track,
clean our cases.
White on White.
Kit with no bandages. Our teeth are like dogs. You're eating frozen frogs. We wide on white fluff and pillows with the fishes. Summer's fun, is hot, and living is so easy. We pick and tilt, we shoot and skeet, we looking sleazy. We got a table steak, cheese eggs and wash is great. Love the little creatures, just like friends as of a CC. Wild turkey, catfish, bread, gross. We don't use cutlery, you're wearing bows like Minnie Mouse. We don't have feelings, we don't use ceilings. Where are you gonna run if the entire night is our house?
That's it.
That's it.
Not enough time to finish that conversation.
Yeah. That's
all right. Welcome back, Wolves, on Snacky Tune. So how would that song differ from the live version to what we just heard?
Not much.
Yeah, that one we played down pretty accurately.
I've been playing different chords in the break lately. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
The form's the same. Some of our songs I've engineered to be...
modular.
Sort of like modular, and then, you know, they can be longer or shorter, and the forms can change. One of our newest songs, the form is different almost every time we play it. We just fill it out. He and I cue each other and stuff.
Yeah.
We added a rap at the beginning. Like, right before the last show, we added a total rap at the beginning. That one just plays down.
We're a little, like, well, we're like deep, deep, deep hip-hop fans. When we were growing up, there was a weird thing where... we weren't really allowed to listen to pop music, but somehow my mother, who's like sort of a linguist, like she's obsessed with language and poetry and literature, she became very interested in hip-hop in terms of it being urban poetry. Sometimes I don't think that she was listening to the lyrics carefully enough,
right.
But she had this idea in her head about it being a significant cultural document.
Yeah, I think you can thank Lauryn Hill for that, actually.
Lauryn Hill actually was the breaking... Yeah, totally. So
she loves Lauryn Hill.
But so somehow we were kind of allowed to sneak hip-hop into the house.
But like what pop music was banned?
Lisa Stansfield,
rock, you know, Michael Jackson, like.
And what was the reason behind it?
It's filthy.
Yeah, we were raised super, super Catholic.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah,
oh,
like,
oh, okay.
Like everything was very.
So, what type of music were you? Is it besides hip? Wait.
So we listened to classical music and classical music, jazz, and hip hop.
Well, so nobody knew what those guys. Didn't know what classical music was.
Yeah, that's
right.
Totally true.
Like, our parents actually didn't know what classical music was. And I thought it was easy listening. They had, like, in the 80s, my grandmother used to listen to, like, an easy listening station. And it was, like, Mantovani and, like, 101 Strings. And I thought that was classical music. And then one day on college radio, I heard a Beethoven sonata when I was, like, 11. And I was like, what the hell is that? So then I started playing classical music. And then they were like, we like classical music.
Yeah, we actually taught them about classical music. So Josh
definitely,
and I...
Definitely.
Josh and I started playing piano pretty young and got obsessed, like really serious. I started playing violin later and cello and stuff like that.
I bought my own piano because we were fighting over the piano.
Got his own piano.
I went on the Penny Saver and bought my own upright piano.
Yeah, totally.
Favorite composer?
No.
None?
Yeah,
no.
Not fair answer.
Not fair? Okay, top, like, one of favorites, or, like...
I go for, like, top five or something.
Yeah, we'll put,
I mean,
top,
like,
five, but we won't pick a place.
Like, Scriabin, Chopin...
Prokofiev.
Mm. Rachmaninoff.
Yeah.
Okay, Russians. I don't know. Yeah. Beethoven. I mean, but Beethoven, come on.
Yeah.
You never forget your first.
And Mozart for voice is everything.
Mozart,
you know?
For voice for piano.
That's true.
Yeah, voice for piano.
Mozart slow movements.
Richard Strauss.
I used to, when I was in college, get one of my
hashtag
sopranos that I used to accompany and to sing the top line of a slow movement of a Mozart sonata or concerto that I was playing so that I could hear the way it would be sung by like a singer.
Amazing. And so then when were you finally introduced to pop music or in your life? Was it when you left the house or
Spotify?
No.
With the introduction of Spotify.
I mean, I started shoplifting rock tapes from the local strawberries and stuff like that pretty early, and then hiding them from my mom, which was pretty awesome. But it, you know, lots of hip hop, and then we both, I mean, he went to the Easton School of Music, proper musician, and I went to school for graphic design, art design, stuff like that. And so we both got into electronic music really early and started raving and going deep and traveling.
She brought me records from the UK in 1997.
Yeah.
Groove Rider. They didn't even have it here. Breakbeat Science didn't even have it yet.
No, I smuggled him back drum and bass records from London. I went to school in London.
Okay.
So, I lived in London for a couple of years and got really, really deep into the drum and bass and techno scene and just, you know, personally and then, you know, tried some DJing and met DJs and got into that. But so it's kind of interesting. I think that the convergence of those three musical disciplines, and to this day, I mean, we've still, like, are out. We're definitely out there listening to electronic music and dancing and hanging out with DJs all the time.
I got kicked out of A-Track last night.
Yeah.
How did you get kicked out?
Speak for yourself.
But those three disciplines kind of inform Wolves a lot, actually, because there's very strong old school hip hop sort of references. In the lyrics themselves, we sometimes drop hip hop references.
There's also
Biggie
local
lyrics in White on White.
There's local considerations.
And there's local considerations. And then
we love New York.
And we love New York City. Yeah.
Right,
but classical form.
From New York.
I just had like my 10th friend inform me that they're moving to LA. This
really.
Week, and I mean, it's work stuff, whatever. I mean, I'm gonna miss her, and I don't begrudge her for it. But then at the end of the day, it's like,
I did that.
Yeah? Okay, why'd you come back?
Obviously.
Goddamn,
he's not an idiot.
Exactly.
Because I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Well,
I really do love.
You're not a sucker.
You're not a goddamn sucker.
I really do love LA, but it's not.
LA is for quitters.
I had a great time vacationing in LA 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, when I was out with Benjamin, like, we had a great time,
yeah.
But then we
I love
came
LA.
Home.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love LA too, but I don't, just, it's not.
Not for every day.
It's not for every day.
No.
I don't know if I could do the driving. I think it's the driving.
Oh. LA is really good if you want to go out and get fucking spooky. Like,
yeah.
I want to get, like, a weird bungalow in Malibu and never leave the house during the day.
Ooh. I think it's a
like,
good,
go out
yeah.
and night drive. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think
I want to go driving with Max.
I want to go driving with Max,
with
too.
With headlights off in the canyons.
Yeah,
ooh, that's wild. He
yeah.
keeps talking about it. I'm like, I'll show you my East Coast shit and you show me your West Coast shit.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, he
grew up in Topanga. Like,
I know.
Deep.
He's,
yeah.
like, really deep with it.
Hi, Max.
Max! We're going to play another track off of the EP called Spoken City. And yeah. There's only four. You can see where this is going.
Yeah. Well, we'll get some classical references in here, too. So.
Okay. We'll deconstruct the song after we hear it.
Awesome.
So no deconstruction the song. One insight.
Like, we were just listening to it, and
I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
So at the beginning of Wolves, Elizabeth and I showed up to rehearsal one day, and we were kind of like picking out a couple different concepts for a new song. And then I had remembered the night prior, Josh pulled up some strange instrumental version of that song that he had made months ago.
That's the version.
Yeah.
It's still not done.
Yeah. So we like hacked it up a little bit, and then he was just like, "Hey, can you sing?" And I was like, "I mean, not really, but I can sing the note." Yeah.
Because I sang on it originally. Voice sounds terrible, and I was like, "Dude, you have to like re-sing this part because it sucks."
Yeah. So I was just like standing in his living room, just like shouting at nothing for a little while, and then that's pretty much how the song was.
Nothing wrong with a little good shouting at nothing session. Yeah.
But then I reamped his vocal through a little practice amp that was in the piano with the pedal held down. And I had, like, room mics, so, like, the vocal played back into the piano with the pedal down and activated all the strings in the piano. It's sort of like a piano. It's like a piano concerto that I wrote for myself, and it's, like, I built, like, a crazy sampler instrument out of, like, I played, like, 90 different chords on the piano and made a sampler instrument and then sequenced that like a drum kit and then, like, played piano a couple times over the top of that and then just like threw tons of paint on the wall, and I was like, I don't know what the hell this is. But then, like, oh, and you know what's crazy about that song? Here's actually, this is like the craziest thing about that song. I did the whole song, the thing we just listened to, I did it, and I like whatever that is. Then, like, a few weeks later, I was sitting on the train. I don't really take the train very much, but I was scrolling through my voice memos on my phone, and I heard a sketch of the song from several months before, and I forgot that I wrote it twice, basically. So, like, it's like a voice note sketch of that exact song.
That's
just
crazy.
Me at the piano, and I'm, like, singing and playing, like, 30-second song or something.
So it lodged in your own subconscious.
I forgot about it, yeah. And then I wrote it again.
So,
it's like a zit.
It's like a goddamn zit.
Just keep on coming back.
Do you guys have, like, a pre-show ritual?
Not really.
Yeah, actually. Fucking go crazy.
Yeah. Normally.
Yeah,
we show up late and then get drunk in the 5 minutes that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a thing. I tend to actually do proper vocal warm-ups.
You have to sing.
And I usually have something real crazy go on my head or around my body or trailing behind me or something like that.
Yeah, Elizabeth always dresses up.
So I take some time to practice moving around my costume.
Got it.
Because I've definitely been in situations where I'm wearing like some crazy rice paddy hat with veils over it, and I'm like, wow, I'm going to fall off the stage. and my costumes come off in layers too, so I usually do like a quick strip down version. I'm like on and then everything off and then back on just to make sure it's actually going to work.
It's so smart.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it's fun.
Besides Glassland on the 6th and the video release, any other plans for the summer?
Yeah.
Northside Festival.
Northside
June
14th.
Festival.
Yeah.
Where are you playing? Which venue?
It's in Williamsburg. It's Spike Hill.
I think it's called
Spike Hill, yeah.
Oh. We're playing the Deli Magazine Showcase.
Oh,
for
cool.
Best,
love those guys.
Best Emerging Artists.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Playing late, too, so.
I think we're headlining.
Yeah,
and there's an after party at the Dragon. After party at the Dragon.
And then we're DJing for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Barbecue party.
Barbecue party. Tickets are now on sale. You can go to Snacky Tunes Twitter, and it should be up. But it's Barbecue Blowout, June 2014.
eventbrite.com. It's on the 10th, right?
It's on the 10th, yeah.
We're going to drop Outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's a good idea. You should play a soul set.
I'm going to play like
that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And we have food from Bunker, which is an amazing Vietnamese restaurant.
Great.
Yeah. You guys can all get plates of food.
That
place beers.
Is fiends.
Yeah.
Like 8 banh mi's.
Yeah, they haven't told what the menu is yet, but people usually generally step up. So I want to make sure that we have time to play the last song on the EP, but where can people... We already said wolves.com, but Twitter, Instagram.
A lot of it's at wolvesnyc with two V's.
Was Wolves taken on most on most feeds.
Yeah, I'm going to talk some shit. So there's a there's like a little high school band out in Phoenix that's also called Wolves, and we're waiting for them to die.
Bitches.
Word up. Word up. Take that.
Yo, get at me. Actually, get at me.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, they're young. They don't know any better.
It's not going to
They
work
might.
Out.
Yeah, I mean.
It doesn't matter how old they are.
Yeah.
They're probably older than me.
Yeah.
Everybody's older than me.
It's not going to work out for them.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
We're going to show you the bleakness of life and then give us back our Instagram handle.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure.
Make sure to check it out on the 6th and then make sure to check out the Big City Apple Barbecue City Block Extravaganza.
Yes.
And then here we go. This is A Breath Away.
Beautiful.
From your debut EP, which is out now on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Written by you, Vallo, Elizabeth Vallo.
Thanks.
That's right.
All right, we'll see you next week.
food. We talk about music with musical dudes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.